Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. Let us hear the word of our Lord. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Our second scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, and then continuing verses 41 through 51. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Thanks be to God for his wonderful word.
Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Tom told you a story about Jesus, how he was teaching one day to quite a crowd, 5,000 men along with women and children. I was at a church this last Sunday that had 23,000 people at it over the course of several services over the course of a Sunday. Can imagine that preaching to that number of people could go to a person's head, you know. So the fact that there are only 60 or 70 of us is good for all of us this morning. So Jesus sees the people there and notices that it's getting late in the day and sees that the people are starting to get hungry. So he turns to Philip and he says to Philip, "How much money do we have in the treasury? Enough that we could buy food for all of the people here?" And of course, Jesus knew, John tells us, what he was about to do. We heard on either Thursday or Friday at the Willow Creek Leadership Summit this story about the feeding of the 5,000 and about how the stupid questions that Jesus asks are the ones that tip us off that something miraculous is about to happen. See, Jesus knows that there's not enough money in the treasury to go around to feed everyone. And so he asks what they do have. Well, they've got a bagel and some grapes from Mercedes. Not enough, certainly, to go around for everyone. But Jesus then takes what the boy brings, his loaves and his fishes, and begins to divide them up and pass them around. And pretty soon, everyone has had their fill, and there are 12 baskets full of leftovers at the end. Jesus finishes his teaching. They get up and depart for the other side of the lake. But the people, well, they've tasted and seen that God is good. And so they follow. They follow after Jesus because, well, they know that they're going to get hungry again. And they find Jesus and they basically say, "We are hungry." And that's when Jesus says what we heard from John's gospel this morning. He says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. She who believes in me will never be thirsty." And the people in the part of the passage that we skipped over this morning, they say, "Give us this bread always." If you knew that you could eat something and it would mean that you would never have to eat ever again and never have to spend another dime on food, and if you were a family of six, let's say, and you knew that if you fed it to your family, you would never have to pay for food for them ever again either, or 5,000 of your closest friends, perhaps, you might say the same thing that the people did. "Give us food always. Give us this bread always." And Jesus goes on to tell the people then to remind them of the story of the Israelites and the manna, the bread from heaven, that every morning in the wilderness they would wake up and go outside of their tent. Every morning, that is, except for the Sabbath day. They would go out of their tents and they would find this sticky, sweet substance in place of the dew on the grass. And they would go up and gather it together, and they would gather as much as they needed, and no one gathered more than they needed, and no one gathered less than they needed. They had exactly what they needed for that day, their daily bread, if you will. And each morning they would wake up knowing and trusting that when they looked outside, it would be there for them. They learned that God can be trusted, that God provides always. And Jesus says to them, "That was me. I am the bread that came down from heaven." To which some of the Jewish leaders reply, "Preposterous. We know who you are, Jesus. You're the son of Mary and Joseph. We've seen you grow up. We probably have a cabinet that you and your father made sitting in our living room. We know who you are. So to say that you came down from heaven? Ridiculous." And here we have the juxtaposition that I want us to spend just a little bit of time on this morning, which is the sense of people wanting the bread of life and yet recognizing that they think they know everything there is to know about Jesus at the same time. I wish it were true that we always wanted this bread. But sinful people that we are, we don't always go to the bread of life for our nourishment. And there are a lot of restaurants open, lots of bakeries, right, that are willing to sell us the bread that they have. And they might promise 5 easy steps to making a loaf of bread that'll last you a lifetime. But the fact that they come out with a sequel and then another sequel and then another sequel tells us that that's not bread that lasts, right? You could make a mountain that would probably go from here to Mars out of the number of self-help books that have been written about ways that you can rely on yourself and your own ingenuity and your own ability to learn and your own willpower to be able to make your life better and make a difference in our world. And, well, sometimes that seems a lot easier than following Jesus. Because there are times when the bread of life, which nourishes us, doesn't taste so good. When I was little, I used to love tuna fish sandwiches, tuna salad sandwiches. And my grandmother would make these for me on white bread, just the way I liked it, with the crusts cut off. Because I didn't like the crust. Last night, we were out on the back porch, and Henry and Holland are eating turkey sandwiches, and what do I notice? That they've eaten around the crusts. That's original sin being transmitted from father to child. But we don't always like it, right? There are some things that Jesus says that are hard for us to take. Take up your cross and follow me. Okay? Imagine that the cross up here weighed about 5,000 pounds. I said, before you're allowed to leave the sanctuary today, you've got to take a lap around the church with the cross and then you're free to go. You can choose to do that, or you can choose not to, and you can just choose to go home. Well, nobody chooses the cross. Except for Jesus. See, sometimes the crusts on the bread of life make our faces tighten up a little bit. And yet, there's no nibbling around the bread of life. It's an all or nothing kind of proposition, except for this morning you'll see when I take the lid off that the bread is cubed up into tiny squares with no crusts on them, just for all of you who have an aversion to crusts. But it's an image for us, right, that Jesus is giving us. But he says to us, he says, you don't eat this bread because you decide to. You don't eat this bread because you want to, because nobody comes to me who hasn't been led by the Spirit. Nobody comes to me who the Father has decided isn't going to come. So just in case you thought that you could pat yourselves on the back for having gotten out of bed this morning to come to church, well, you have no one to thank but the Holy Spirit. Because what I believe, what I hope you believe as well, is that the Spirit moves in us and through us to do great things. In just a moment, you'll be invited to partake of the bread, which signifies Christ's body, and the cup, which signifies Christ's blood. But you don't eat that bread and drink that cup because you decide to, even if it feels that way. But because the Spirit of God has moved in you and through you to make that happen. This is good news for us, because if left up to our own devices, we'll look in 1,000 other places for the hope that only Christ can provide to us. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church in Ephesus, and he tells them about how they ought to live now that they have received this hope, received this good news, received their baptism, received the power of the Holy Spirit. He says to them, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. If you're a thief, stop stealing things and begin to diligently work with your hands so that, not so that you'll stop harming people that you're stealing from, but so that you can contribute to the care for the least of these, the poor, the widows, the orphans." You see, a wonderful line I came across this week is that the imperatives of our faith, if you're familiar with parts of speech, an imperative is a command, right? The, you know, do this, don't do that. The imperatives of our faith are fully reliant on the indicatives of who God is. Those things that we can say about God that we know deep in our hearts that are true. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." The bread which has come down from heaven. And if we examine those words from John 6 once again, he says to them, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven." Verse 51, "If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Ultimately, what Jesus is saying here, which what we'll find out in a couple of weeks, people have a problem with that too, saying that Christ is going to give his life for us. And if, as Paul says, we are to be imitators of God, that means being imitators of Christ. And that means laying down our lives for one another. Once we eat this bread of life, we find that we are no longer individual people. We no longer only look out for ourselves. But what we are doing there is eating it together and witnessing the way that God works in us so that each one of us has an important role to play in the body. Each one of us has an important role to play in the family. None of us are merely spectators in this. All of us have a vital role to play, whether you think you do or not. But as we've seen before, it's not up to you. Because if it were up to you and if it were up to me, we'd eat junk food all the time. Because, well, sometimes it tastes better to us. Until we're on medication for cholesterol and blood pressure and all of this other stuff, right? Because it doesn't always taste good. But the benefits are out of this world. Together, we will gather at this table. Together, we will eat this bread and drink this cup. And Christ invites us because he is the host at the table. There are those of us who come to this table in need of comfort, because life is hard sometimes. There's sickness, there's sadness, and there's trouble. And sometimes the only place that you can go when life gets hard is home. To have a home-cooked meal from people who love you. And there are some here today that are really comfortable. Life is good. It's like 3.5 weeks of vacation. Sitting by the shore, catching the sun, can hear the waves lapping up on the water. Kids are burying you in the sand. Life is good. And it would be really easy to sit on that shore for the rest of your life. That describes you. Christ welcomes you to the table to be challenged, to get up out of that comfort zone and get to work, do something for the benefit of the kingdom, for the benefit of the body. So whether you are someone afflicted who needs comforting, or whether you are someone who is comfortable and needs afflicting, Christ welcomes you to come to the table. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the bread of life, which strengthens us unto life eternal. We ask, Lord, that as we now prepare ourselves to gather at this table, that your Spirit would move in us and through us to give us the exact message that we need to hear today. Help us to be wise enough to recognize the counterfeit bread that our society sometimes peddles, and to recognize and eat fully of the true bread when it is presented to us. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.